Welcome back, everybody, to the Minecraft Short Stories Podcast. In this episode today, I have a cold, I had a cold. That's not the name for the episode, but I just wanted you guys to know my voice is probably a little bit deeper because I'm recovering from it. But in this episode, as per the title, there is the part two to the escapade in the Outer End, which can be listened to without part one, but not recommended. I'll summarize part one quickly right before we get into the story. Anyways, I'd recommend listening to Escapade in the Outer End part one right now. It is the previous episode. Once you're done with that one, then listen to this one. Anyways, part one consisted of Simon, which is the main character for the story, protagonist. He went to the End Dimension with the intention to defeat the dragon. But while attempting to vanquish the creature, the dragon launched him in a very extraordinary set of events, launched him all the way into the Outer End Islands, which are end islands very far away from the main one, which are separated from the main one by a huge gap. Simon lands on one of those islands, and he is now stuck with no way back. So let's get right into the story.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Simon stood overlooking the void. He was on the edge of a small island, one of the many which helped compose the sparse expanse of the Outer End. He peered eastward, searching for the yellowish-white shade of Endstone, the block making up this dimension, that would give away the position of the Dragon's Island. Fitting to the current reality of his situation, the name given to the dimension, the End, seemed fitting. After a few fruitless minutes of straining his eyes, he finally stopped. He sat, his back leaning against a small incline. Laying there, his satchel beside him, he did the only thing he felt like doing. He waited. He waited for the hopelessness to stop. Waited for the sun to shine through his bedroom window and wake him from his nightmare. And then he just waited for something, anything to happen. Simon eventually opened his eyes and just lay there, feeling a near overpowering sense of despair. How could this have happened, he asked himself. It was supposed to be simple. The other players Simon had asked for advice assured him that the dragon didn't take much effort to defeat. Just destroy the crystals and then shoot her with arrows. Those other players around Simon's land were adventurers, loaded with gold and diamonds. All defeat the dragon at least once. They were decked with gleaming armor and large houses full of rare dyes. In comparison, Simon was inadequate. He made a plan months before. After feeding the dragon, he would begin to work on obtaining the dyes and precious metals. Then, he would come back to his property and begin a larger farm in mine. For a long time, Simon hadn't known how the dragon could continually be killed, but also respond. A little preliminary research later, he found a partial answer. Apparently, the crystals the dragon used to heal could also be used to respawn her. How, though, was not known, and the explanation for the method used was tentative. Simon sat up, still feeling hopeless. He didn't want to get up, and he couldn't see any reason for it, but he was scared of what would happen to him if he just let himself lay there. After standing for a second, he sat back down, emptied his satchel onto the ground. He needed to take inventory. He had 12 blocks of cobblestone, a water bucket, a compass, and sufficient food for a while, mostly cooked beef, some iron tools and armor that were in decent condition, though dented. Unfortunately, in his flight across the void, he had dropped many of his supplies. His bow and all but a few arrows were gone, as was his extra iron and wood. If any of his tools or armor broke, he couldn't repair them. Simon ate a slice of beef slowly as he repacked his satchel. Standing up, securing his satchel onto his side, Simon began to make a plan. The Outer End wasn't all small barren islands. Some could be more massive than the main one. These behemoths of Endstone were usually covered with chorus plants and endermen. According to one of the books involved in his preliminary research, courtesy of the village's local library, chorus plants were incredibly tall, sometimes reaching 22 blocks above the ground. The plant's fruit did have some nutritional value. Simon remembered a warning regarding the eating of it, but he couldn't recall what it was. Anyways, that was the only food source once he ran out. With the last look to the east, he began his trek to the other side of the island. It didn't take long. The island was only a few minutes' brisk walk across, and unattached to others. It floated alone, with the nearest landmass being around 50 blocks away. Simon looked into the infinite black expanse, and wondered what would happen if he fell in. Would he fall forever? Would he just instantly die? Or something else? Any option seemed a horrible way to go. Simon felt a little sick from the stark realization of how close he had been to death, and a grisly one at that. He had a small farm, and along with crops, he raised and butchered pigs and cows. He supposed he should have been used to death at this point. He didn't eat the meat, he traded it to the butcher for emeralds. With those, he could purchase items from other villagers. This is how he was able to afford the blaze powder. The villagers would also take diamonds and gold in trade, but Simon didn't have any. Not yet, at least. Simon pulled out his iron pickaxe and swung it against the endstone. It gave away easily with a dull cracking noise. He gathered a handful of the blocks and then moved to the edge of the island. He placed a block on the edge and stepped onto it with one foot. It held. Simon smiled, relieved. The reports had been true then. The same force that kept the islands afloat also kept other things aloft as well. Placing the full weight of his body onto the stone, he put another block in front of him. It stayed as well. Inching forward again, and pointedly not looking down into the void, he moved onto the block. Simon placed and moved on to the next block in the same manner. The amount of weight that could be upheld by the Inn's force was seemingly tied to size, as the researchers of the player and villager world had noted. The Dragon's Island was massive enough to not only uphold its own weight, but also keep aloft the near incalculable mass of the obsidian pillars. Even a single block of endstone could hold many times the player's weight. When Simon ran out of blocks, he carefully backtracked to the island to replenish. Eventually, there was only a small gap before it connected the two islands. On his 40-block pilgrimage back, Simon noticed something concerning. The bridge shook slightly, and occasionally a soft groaning came from the blocks. As Simon laid down his last fifth of the bridge, the shaking increased noticeably. The blocks dryly grated together as they shook in place, and stone dust falling far into the void below. He grew more worried with each block added. Simon sized up the remaining gap. Should I jump it? He contemplated. Well, if the bridge did collapse, he could probably make it, and if it didn't, then he had a way back. The bridge didn't collapse. Simon's eyes were watering from the amount of dust as he connected the final block, but he crossed successfully. This new island was larger than the previous, and much less flat. As Simon walked, his compass told him a southwest direction. He had to continually climb. Eventually, the incline grew much steeper and morphed into what resembled a mini mountain, entirely composed of endstone. After all this endstone, Simon's eyes were tired of the light yellow color. The dim ambient illumination didn't do the shade any favors as well. After hopping and climbing his way onto the mountain, Simon was immediately drawn to the dark purple plants. The chorus plants, or they must be chorus plants, grew sparsely all across the side of the island. The nearest was on an elevated, but relatively flat, section of the mountain. Simon sat and devoured a steak, then nibbled on an apple, as he studied the nearest plant. It was only around 6 blocks high, nowhere near its potential. Its stem was mottled shades of deep purple, with lighter purple lines running and crossing across. At outstretches of the plant were bulbous lumps, sometimes from which grew another branch of the plant. At the very top of the higher branches were ginormous bulbs. The bulbs looked like the rest of the stem, but much larger, most around the size of an entire block. The particular plant Simon was studying had two bulbs, but also a flower. Simon supposed the flower came from the bulbs, as they were of similar size and shape. The flower's squarish white and purple petals were anything but delicate. Simon noticed something peculiar about the flower, but couldn't make it out from where he sat. He repacked his satchel and stood, walking over to the plant. As he looked upwards, he realized what it was. The flower wasn't one flower. It was 5 different blooms, all in a hard bulb. I guess the answer's where the flowers came from, he thought, amused. Simon realized he was spending too much time looking at a plant, but he was fascinated. At his home, whenever he visited the village, he always went to check with the farmers to see if new seeds had arrived. The diversity of plants fascinated him. I wonder if I can get any seeds from this, Simon thought as he reached out his hand to touch the plant. When he did, the plant nearly crumpled under his fingertips. It was as dry as the endstone it grew from, and seemed almost hollow. Simon pushed the stem a tiny bit more, and, to his horror, the entire plant collapsed. The bulbs fell to the endstone and crumpled, spilling brownish-purple dust. The flowering bulb, though, landed with a thud and rolled. After recovering from accidentally killing a plant for no reason, Simon went after the bulb. It had rolled down the slope and was pretty banged up. He picked it up, and the first thing he noticed was that it had some weight. It wasn't as brittle as the rest of the plant. Most of the petals had fallen off, and inside, to Simon's delight, there was a fruit. He plucked it out and examined it. The fruit was purple, almost the same shade as the stem. It didn't look very edible, and didn't smell very delectable, but Simon pocketed it anyway, hoping he would never have to resort to eating it. In search of the bulb, Simon had already almost reached the bottom of the mountain. He was near the edge and could see a nearby landmass through the dimness. It looked huge and was only around 30 blocks from the island. "Well, my plan only consisted of finding chorus plants," realized Simon. He had accomplished that, but what now? Instinctively, he wanted to go onto a larger island. If anyone was living in the end, it wouldn't be on a small island like his. He recalled from his book something about end settlements and raids on them, but he had merely skimmed that section. Simon gathered more endstone and started making another bridge. It held him up like usual for this dimension that is, and the construction went smoothly. When he was about halfway across the gap, Simon looked up to judge the height of the island. When he did, his jaw dropped and he stared upward, crouching down to make sure he didn't lose his balance. From the blackness of an end, a ginormous structure had been revealed. It was constructed of purple and endstone-colored brick-like blocks. It looked like a chorus plant the way it stretched upwards. But this structure was hundreds, if not 1,000, blocks high. The rooms of the structure were like the bulbs and the lumps of the chorus plant, with hallways and connecting structures being the stem. Simon remembered now about those end settlements he had recalled. They hadn't been end villages as he had imagined. They had been cities. Simon closed his mouth and smiled. He had found an end city. He had found a way out. Thank you all for listening to this episode of the Minecraft Stories podcast, episode 65. This story was not written by a listener, but if you'd like to submit a story for a chance to be read on the podcast, go to minecraftshortstories.com, link inside the description. Go to the submit a story page and fill out your story. While you're down there, there's also a link to the YouTube channel. Feel free to check that out. I upload video editions of the podcast just so then people on YouTube can see them. Feel free to check that out if you want to leave me a comment or something. Anyways, this has been the Minecraft Stories podcast, and I'll see you guys inside the next episode.